Don't let them kid you back. It's all right. Okay, let's first of all, a word of prayer, orienting us to why we're here, to study the scriptures, see what God's plan is. And right now we're in one chapter that has caused more trouble in church history probably than any other one chapter, and specifically one verse taken out of the context of the one chapter, and so that we can allow the Spirit to open our eyes, that we can see what He would have us to see. Let's begin with the word of prayer, orienting ourselves to His power, His leading, His illuminating work. Let's pray. Father, we assemble tonight to open the scriptures, spend some time refreshing our souls, our spirits, our life in the Word, Father. And we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to these things, Father. Take us on the journey that You would have us be on tonight. Reveal to us the things, Father, that we should see in regard to happiness. All members of the human race of Your creation, Father, were created for the desire of happiness. How we get that happiness is the great issue. And so, Father, we pray that now Your Spirit will open our eyes to this happiness, the source of it, what it is, these things that we're looking at, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last night, we looked and we saw that the different ways you can look at things in the scriptures, even taking the imperative as we did last night. We have seen so often that you can look in scripture and two different people will look and some will go at it from the Isaiah 28, rule on rule and law on law, do and do, do and do, here a little, there a little, put it all together and work at it. As somebody else will see that all God is asking for us to do is to trust Him. I don't know how many of you saw this. My house, at the various times you've been in my house, but I thought this is a good way to illustrate what we're talking about. And if you have seen it and you already know it's there, okay. But if you don't and you haven't, let's take a look at it. Now, anybody that has not seen the picture before, this is a Bev Dew little picture, and she's made very famous in art in the 80s and 90s. Of a something going on within a painting. She is just a great artist in this respect. I wish I could afford a lot of her work. This one's a signed numbered edition of Bev Doolittle. If you have not seen the picture before, and this is the first time, do you see it? Have you seen the picture before? What do you see? Good. Does anybody not see the work? Don't be afraid. It's fun if you haven't. If you don't. Everybody see the wolf? You see the wolf?
I do, and I can't believe I did.
Okay.
I can see the other
part. That's it. And once you identify the wolf, you can't look at the picture without seeing it. But, and that is the way that, that is the way the scriptures are. Once you see that what I'm looking for is for you to come to me by faith, then that's what you see everywhere. If you don't see it, you can look at it. You can study the wood, the rocks, study the water, study everything, and never see what you're looking at. Never see it. And but if you want, you look at Scripture again, and you can just say, there it is, there it is, there it is. No matter where I'm looking, there is the truth of what God is doing. And so her work is just exciting work. I like, I have a book, not being able to afford her work. I have a book that just has all a lot, maybe not all, but a lot of her paintings in it. And you just sit there and you've got to look at it a while on some of them. They're very, sometimes really hidden. And that's very good. I didn't see it that quickly when I saw this. Estelle, that's very good. It took me a while. Sometimes the further back you are, though, and helps a little bit. But I just thought to use that as an example of how even in art we can see the principle that we're seeing in Scripture of how you can miss what God is talking about. Now, what we are is in 1 John chapter 1, and we are dealing with the joy so that our joy may be made complete. And I want to try to finish up this verse tonight if we can, so let's get moving. What we have seen so far in our study is we ought to pursue happiness. The question is, how ought we to pursue happiness? Is not the way that a Christian pursues happiness different, and shouldn't it differ from how the non-Christian would seek happiness? And then we come to, well, then how ought we to seek happiness? And that brought us to the question, where does the happiness, joy come from? And we've seen that the source is the Holy Spirit, the means of faith. But that's where we are. We don't want to turn to this one, but Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the production of the Spirit is love. And then the second one, happiness, joy. The joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a genitive of source. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The word joy here is in the genitive of source, from the source of the Holy Spirit. The great question that each individual must answer, how do I receive it? How do I receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And this, of course, depends on how you see Scripture, like in this picture. How do you see it? How do you see God? How do you see Scripture? How do you see God? Something you have to do for Him? Is that your view of God? Or something He will give you if you just trust Him? Now, let's finish going through some passages. So it's a little Bible drill. Let's start with Romans 14:17. Let's open the Scriptures to Romans 14:17, and just make a run tonight through some things. We won't spend a couple of hours dealing with the doctrine of joy. We'll just kind of spend some time here considering this aspect. All right, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, and that is a questionable, challenging phrase, the kingdom of God. Different preachers, books are written about it. Where is the kingdom of God? When is the kingdom of God? And this kind of helps a little bit. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and joy, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We have in plus the dative. When we are in the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive His righteousness, we receive His peace, His joy. Righteousness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are what the Holy Spirit gives. And when we're trusting Him, those are things that He will pour out and give to us graciously. So they're received graciously by faith. That's why I said, we don't work to be righteous or good. Our job, as we saw last night, ends when we simply trust Him. All right, let's look at Romans 15:13. Now may the God, and here specifying God the Father, the God of hope. Our hope is in and because of God the Father. We haven't dealt a lot on hope for a while, and it becomes a very important part of our life. And so here's the hope. Now may the God the Father of hope, fill you with all joy. So this is God. You want God to fill you with all joy. And note the word fill, not just give, but fill to capacity, with all joy and peace. And now the question, how do we get this to be filled with this joy and this peace? Look what it says. For you are by faith, believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then for the eyes we see, very simply stated, it's going to come by the Holy Spirit. All right, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. We spent some time last Sunday on 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. But now let's look at 1 Thessalonians, another of those great books. I guess I'm going to give in, and sometime in the early part of next year we will start the study in Revelation and Job. I've been working on it, so we'll just start studying it. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, the struggling of the first century of Christianity, with the joy from the Holy Spirit, out from the Holy Spirit, the joy that the Holy Spirit gives. So happiness is related to the Holy Spirit, our relying on Him by faith. Now, this is why Jesus Christ desired for His disciples to have the Holy Spirit. Look with me at John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Rather interesting passage. John 16:24. Learn a lot about what's important in life as we study Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ desires us to have. I think it's rather interesting in talking about the Holy Spirit. We might think, well, boy, He would really want them to have the Spirit so that they would, learn Bible doctrine, so that they would be able to carry on this great ministry, so that they would be able to accomplish great things. Is that what He says? The thinking of our Jesus Christ for us is for joy. I want you to have this joy. Look what He says in John 16:24. Now think with me. John 16. John 13 starts the upper room discourse. So we are in the upper room discourse, coming out of it, just a few hours before the crucifixion. He's zeroing in on the things that are really important. Okay, let's see what He says. Until now, you have asked for nothing in My name. Now, what He's talking about is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That's what He's talking about. So now you've not asked for the Holy Spirit. Ask, and you will receive. Talking about the Holy Spirit, you will receive. What happens when you receive the Holy Spirit? That your joy may be made full. So He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now note the phrase "made be full," because that's what we have in 1 John 4, and I want to come back to that in a minute. Being made full. But here, you have the Holy Spirit, that your joy may be made full. Another way of looking at walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, in the Scriptures, and the words that we've already seen, another one is being in fellowship. If you're walking by faith, you're in fellowship with God. We're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Spirit is invisible, and this is talking about God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians a moment, please. 2 Corinthians 13. We follow the track of all of these things, and people come across some very powerful things about if you really want just to be happy in life. It's not in getting the Christmas presents you want. It's not in being lost by not getting the Christmas presents, having the things that other people have, all these kinds of things. It's something far superior to all of that. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace. Well, that starts us off on how we're going to get it, so we know we don't have to work for it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Isn't that kind of fun? Love one another as I have loved you. So we talk about Jesus Christ and His love, but here we state it a different way. The grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God. And we've seen that this love of Jesus Christ is the love of the Father. And when you and I receive it of the Holy Spirit, it's Christ's love, it's the way God loves. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the fellowship of the Spirit is when we are walking with Him by faith. One more in this motif, look at Philippians. Philippians 2:1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, and the if clause, and there is, if there is any consolation of love, and there is, one of the impacts of spiritual love, along with the Psalm 16 that we'll see in 1 Corinthians 13, if there is any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and there is. And so the point of contact we have is with the Holy Spirit, who gives us fellowship with Christ, who gives us fellowship with God the Father. So when we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit by faith, we could call it faith fellowship, we receive His fruit, we receive what He was sent here to give. Second standing, what was He sent here to give? This happiness to us. One other passage that we should note here, look at James. James. And people are just find difficulty with James, and it really isn't a difficult chapter or book. We understand it. James 1:25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law. Now, what's the perfect law? It's the law of liberty. What do we know from 2 Corinthians? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And abides by it. Walks by faith. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, walking by faith, this man shall be, and it says blessed, but it's the word happy, in what he does. So if what we do is under the direction and power of God the Holy Spirit, you're going to have that happiness by what you do. Now let's talk about that for a moment and pull together some of the things that we spent time here on. In Aristotle's dealing with happiness and how the man comes at happiness, a man arrives at happiness by making the right decisions. And we've looked at what Aristotle meant by the right decisions. And if you make your life a life of making those right decisions, you will arrive at a happy life. So you do make all those right decisions. But note what James is saying here. He's saying, as you and I live by the Spirit, everything that we do, there is a happiness in pleasing God. There is a happiness in it that is going on, a joy that is constantly going on in our soul. And by the way, just going back to the 1 John in this one aspect. In fact, let's turn back to 1 John now. Let's turn back to 1 John 1:4. It's time to do that. Once you find this happiness and arrive at this happiness, there's going to be, as we see now, with several words in 1 John, just in these first four verses, of proclaiming, declaring, writing, telling others. Once you experience this kind of joy, you will tell others about it. This is one of the things that he's talking about, and that goes back to what we're here for. We are here in that proclaiming stage of history that started off in Job. How can all of these things be? We are here to proclaim God did them. God did what Satan said could not be done. Also, you recall in 1 John, the subject is love. If we want to take the time, we go through and I show you how so many passages, love and joy, are often right together. Just take the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, right there together. And so the relationship of love and joy are predominant throughout Scripture. And so in our passage here, he talked about in verses 1 through 3, knowing God and how that's related to love, fellowship with God related to love, the mark of the Christian related to love, absence of sin related to love, and now happiness is related to love. Now I want to look at the next phrase in verse 4. So that our joy may be made complete. Now, this is important. What does that mean? Be made complete. Let's concentrate on that. This happiness, while an absolute, is not complete. We spend our lives on making this joy complete. And I'll show you how this is going to fit together in a moment. But I want you to see that this is very important to Scripture. This is very important because this is not just once. This is, we've already seen a few passages, but look back with me, if you will, at John 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Let me show you this, because it comes up over and over and over in the Scriptures. And now we're going to have some fun here. Look at this. But you're filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. You have joy, but it's not complete. Now, what is going on? Let me kind of, I made an overhead when I did this, but I'm looking for the light bulb for the overhead just to leave here. But let's say we're talking about, okay, we're going to start just so we can get this going. We start off in sin, and we then move to faith, directed toward the Holy Spirit. And once we move to that faith relationship, we're in what we're going to call here the Spirit-filled life. A lot of people have different terms, but just so you and I can communicate, what we mean by this is walking in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. What I want you to start seeing is, once you and I enter into the Holy Spirit, there are things that are going to happen that are instant. There are things that are going to happen that are instant. Now, there are other things that are going to happen in the spiritual life that are gradual. There are things, when you and I are in the Spirit, there are things that are instantly going to occur. There are other things that are going to occur gradually. And that's what we're looking at with this statement. Now, let's kind of put this into a flow of what we are looking at. John 3:29. He who has the bride, now he's talking about John the voice in the wilderness, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, this is John in the passage, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. Perfect passive indicative of the verb plero, plero, long or thin in Greek. The perfect tense here, action is completed. Passive voice, the subject receives it. Not something he's done to earn, not something he has manufactured, but he receives the filling of this happiness. Now turn to John 15. Now where are we in John 15? All right, John 13 begins the upper room. John 14. In John 13 we have the new commandment to love. John 14, introduction teaching of the Holy Spirit. John 15, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Also in John 15, 11 and 12. These things I, Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, disciples in context, you and I in principle, that my joy, that is the joy of Jesus Christ, may be in you. Okay. The joy that we have is His joy. Just like we've seen, we studied in Galatians. Every one of the things in Galatians and the fruit of the Spirit, all of them but one, belong to Jesus Christ. So that's why, people, when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're putting on Christ. Okay, now let's see what the rest of you says. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that the Holy Spirit and all, and that your joy, now it becomes our joy, may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Here again, happiness related to, right next to, love. This happiness belongs to Christ. Now watch what happens. I'll just go ahead and tell you, so you start thinking with me. As it gradually becomes full in you, what is taking place inside of you as this occurs? What is taking place is that you are being transformed from that acorn to the oak tree that we talked about. Because the unbeliever is not an acorn. He did not become an oak tree. Only a believer can be transformed into the image of Christ. Because you have in you all, if we stay with the acorn analogy, all the DNA, all the genetic makeup that if you are properly nourished, properly taken care of, you will grow into an oak tree. The transformation will occur. Now, this is going to take time. So as you continue to walk in the spirit-filled life, and it becomes more and more a reality in your life, to where you get to the point to where these dots almost look like it's a straight line. They're so close together, like we saw last night. When these things start occurring, when your life starts looking something like we have here, see, it may start out like this, and then slowly the dots get closer and closer. This type of thing. Not only that, but let's take what we add to this now, a principle we saw from 2 Thessalonians. As every area of your life, you begin to learn to walk by faith, so your faith as we saw in this, has increased into every area of your life. As that begins to happen, this joy starts filling every area of your life, people. So you can see how all of this is going to work together if you saw what we studied. Let's say, once again, for the simplicity of communication, the human life has five areas. It has a multitude, but we'll just say five. Let's say that in two areas, you are walking by faith. Okay, in these two areas, as we saw Sunday, his love is shown here, his love is here. But his love is not here, because you're not walking by faith here. And again, this is why a lot of people will look at this Christian, they see these two areas, and then they also see these three where they're not. So they call this Christian a hypocrite. He's not a hypocrite. He's on the journey of learning to increase his faith to every area of his life. Increase his faith to every area of his life. So that now what we're seeing is there is a joy now related to every area of your life, people, that you learn to walk by faith. This joy comes into your life in that area. So that if you're walking in any area, the more areas we are, not only is his love going to be increased in magnitude, but his joy and being made full now, be complete, is when every area of my life I'm trusting him more and more. I'm not holding out one area. And so the journey that we have in life is making our life look like this, increasing the areas of our life where we trust him instead of holding on to one or two. That may come out as sin, may come out as legalism, may come out as a lot of different things, but we're holding on to them. You don't have joy there. Oh, when you're in the Spirit, you have joy here and here and here. But in these areas, there is no joy. But as you gradually increase the mass of faith, mass being the areas of faith you're going to trust him, until it reaches every area of your life, as you gradually do that, then you start increasing that joy that comes in every area of your life. So, it says to be made full. Now, in this passage in John 11, this is an aorist passive subjunctive. Again, we have that passive of the same verb, paro. Passive, you receive it. How do I receive it? Right here. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. When you're walking by faith, you receive it. And so now you've increased the areas that you're going to walk by faith and trust him. And as you do, you gradually are going to have this joy made complete. That's what's going on there. Let's look at John 16, next chapter. John 16, 24. Until now, it's the one we just looked at, so let's read it quickly. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive it. Why? So that your joy may be made full. Same word. Jesus Christ, again, is speaking of the Holy Spirit. Perfect passive participle, plural. People talk about maturity. Talk about wanting to be mature, reach maturity. What does it take? What is your answer? Your answer on the mature believer and what constitutes a mature believer again goes back, people, to what I just harp on over and over and over, and that is your view of God. Before God, how am I going to become mature? Some people will say, first circle, moral righteousness. The more righteous you are, the more right decisions you make in the moral area of your life. Somebody else would say, no, it's the more knowledge of doctrine you learn. Somebody else would say, no, it's more your experience, emotional experiences. Somebody else would say, no, it's your service. Okay, let's understand what it is. It's the more areas in which I trust Him. I trust Him. And I receive. See, if we take this five thing again, you start receiving happiness in this area of your life where it wasn't there yesterday because you didn't trust Him there yesterday. Wasn't there yet. But when you walk by the Spirit in every area of these areas of your life, people, it starts pouring in this love. And pretty soon, it gradually starts being complete. And what's gradually taking place is that you're gradually being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ and having this joy be made full. Now, let's look at, Galatians 3:5, let me read this one to you. Does He then, God the Father, who provides you or supplies you with the Holy Spirit, thereby the works of miracles or by the working power in you? No. Does He do it by the works of the law? No. But by the hearing with faith. Let's look at Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Let's look at that. Okay, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you. There's our word fill, not incomplete, but full. With all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this gives you some idea of the concept that John is dealing with here of how our hope has to be made, our joy has to be made complete. The Greek word again is plero'o. It means to feel. This is what's going on, people, in your life as you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's continuous. You're being filled. You're being the areas of your life, which means all these areas, your whole soul, being filled now with more and more joy. The more areas that you turn over and walk by faith. And we've looked at some of these Sunday morning, the food and the clothing, the necessities of life, and it could be the marriage, it could be finance, old age, sickness, illness, and aren't we just go through this whole thing, whatever journey that we're going in. And the more areas, as you increase the mass, increase the areas of your life where you trust Him, you're gradually increasing in this joy. And as we've seen, being made full, and when it is full, you're in that image of Jesus Christ. You are being transformed into His image. It's going on, and you don't even know it. How many years does it take that little acorn to become an oak tree? How many years is it going to take for a believer to be transformed from this acorn, this all the potential of being Christ-like from our spiritual birth, but being actually transformed into that person where his love, his joy, all the things that belong to Him are now coming out in us. This is all going on throughout their lives. This happiness is starting to be made complete. The more that you are transformed into the image of Christ. So what is the fullness of joy? What is maturity? As we talk about it that way, what is maturity? Maturity is this joy being made complete. Maturity is as you walk, the more areas in all areas of your life, you're walking by faith. That's a mature person who has learned to come to the point, I trust you in every area of my life. I'm not going to hold on to one area where I don't really trust you. And so that's what a mature person is. Mature person is the weak person who's come to the point, I need you in every area of my life. And I can't hold on to one area and not trust you in that area. And this is what is going on. So you're filling up. It just keeps on increasing as it does in that little acorn, and that faith and that love and that joy, that happiness now starts influencing every area of your life. So that, now watch what happens. This is all fitting together if you're staying with the whole flow. We talk about the crisis of grace, and we talk about the crisis of faith. The next crisis is the crisis of love. In the crisis of faith, something precious to you is going to have to die. whatever it is you're holding on to, confession, repentance, rituals, whatever it is, so that you will learn to walk by faith. The people in the crisis of love, in the crisis of love, you may have to die. But watch what's going on now. As you cross this and make it through this and then go through what we're studying right now, the testing of faith, encouraging of faith, and you learn to trust Him in every area. You even have learned now, as you gradually are transformed into Him, you now learn to do what? I trust you, God, even with my life. So that if I have to lay down my life, I can do that out of love, but with what? Inner happiness, this joy. Because you see, you have gradually, you've turned in the instant joy, gradually turned it into a complete joy in your life. It's now full. Full. Now you're ready for 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. That's the ultimate demand of love. And we're not going to do that. But once you have gone to the point where you trust God in every area, now you trust God even with your life, and your joy is filled, this means out of your love, you will lay down your life if that's what's necessary, and in doing so, you're going to do it with joy. Then you're like Christ. Are you not? Isn't that what He did for us? He laid down His life for us. Why? Because He so trusted God the Father. He was filled with this joy. Filled with it. Whatever I do. Happy in whatever we do. Happy in whatever you do. If I have to lay down my life, I'm now ready for the crisis of love. You're only ready for the crisis of love when you've made it to the crisis of faith and your joy is full. Now you can do it. Now you can lay down your life. You can do whatever is necessary to restore, not an unbeliever, but a born-again believer who's in sin. You can restore him to a relationship with God and do whatever it takes to do it. Because your joy is complete, and you will do it with joy. It will not be, well, all right, I know this is my Christian duty. I'll just do it. I'll just die. There'll be a joy here. There'll be a joy. It will not be man-made. It is a joy that you have gradually caused to become full in you. So that if I even have to lay down my life, the joy is there. And I will do it out of this love. Because all of these things are coming into you, and you're now Christ-like. Do you see how all of this fits now? And how we're going to go with this crisis of love and the things that are related to it. So it's the gradual things that take. So the more we walk by faith, the more areas of our life that we learn to walk by faith, all these things, the joy becomes complete. But let's say in our five, we're still holding out here. There's one area, then, we're still trying to make our own happiness. It may be the area of sin. It may be the area of fear. It may be the area of worry and doubt or the control. Control your marriage. Control somebody. Control this or that. You haven't learned. So your joy is not complete. It's complete here. You have great joy, 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 joy. But you don't have it here. It's not complete. Doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite in these areas, people. And it doesn't mean that another Christian is a hypocrite. They have learned, but their joy is not complete. It's complete only when we turn over all areas. And the Holy Spirit is able to pour in His joy in every area of our lives into us. So the joy that God gives people does not occur all at once. It's not going to happen all at once. You're the acorn being transformed into the oak tree. And so there are things, the instant thing that occurs is it starts occurring inside of that acorn. Things start occurring. All of the genetic makeup of the acorn starts working. Starts moving. It's not stagnant. It starts moving. This is instant. And then it just keeps, the more you walk and the more air you get, it just starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger and starts growing. Unless the cows eat it before it gets big. Okay. Now, it just starts growing and growing and growing until you are trans. transformed as you don't even know when and how it all happened. You don't even know how you got to the point where you will now lay down your life and there's a happiness in doing it for another believer who doesn't even deserve it. He's a bum and he doesn't deserve it. But you don't look at that. There's a joy in doing whatever is necessary to restore them and bring them into a relationship with God. Your joy takes time. Okay. This is something that has been going on in God's plan all the way through. Look with me at Exodus chapter 23 a moment. Exodus 23. Okay. Exodus 23. Think with me now. Genesis, Exodus, Exodus. So where we kind of know in general thinking, we know we're dealing with the people coming out of Egypt. We know that we're dealing with them moving into or crossing the Red Sea, getting into and ready to cross Jordan, all the things that we talk about in Exodus. So have in your mind what's going on. And so in chapter 23, verse 30, look what he says. I, God, will drive them, the inhabitants of the land, I will drive them out before you all at once. No, you couldn't handle that. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. He's not going to do it quickly. Now, a lot of things we could study here in the spiritual warfare. A lot of things we could study analogous to our spiritual journey. But this is something, if God gives them all the land, now they're going to anyway, and we know it. But they would just start enjoying it, and they would not learn to walk by faith. But if they take part of the land, if we take just an analogy, they take part of the land, they still have to learn to keep trusting Him for the next part of the land. And then they have to just keep trusting Him. Will you trust me for the next part of the land? I'll give it to you. We're going to take one little city-state called Ai. That'll be the first thing we're going to take. Or Jericho. We're going to take Jericho. We're going to cross in. We're going to take a city-state of Jericho. And we're going to take that one way. Will you trust me? Will you walk around the city and show them you hold on, violate every military strategy known to man at that time and throughout all history? Violated every one of the rules of war? Will you trust me? Okay, they learn to. Now, will you trust me when we go to the next city-state at Ai? And will you trust me in the next place, and then the next place, and the next place? Will you trust me? I'm not going to give it to you all at once. Because you're not ready. You're just growing and growing. You're not ready to have that kind of land and everything. So as you increase more and more and more and more and more, you take possession of the land. Let's go to the last book of the Pentateuch. Look at Deuteronomy with me. We could spend a lot of time in verse 30. It's a very important verse historically, spiritually, in the spiritual warfare, dealing with Satan, dealing with us. So many things are going on there. But look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Okay, verse 22. And the Lord your God will clear away. No people... In the passage you just read, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you, I will do it unconditionally. Unconditionally. Now look what he says here. And the Lord your God will clear away unconditionally. But what about all those passages that talk about if you do this and if you keep the law, I'll do it. Here he's unconditionally. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you. How will he do it? Little by little. Now, don't read further a moment. Talk with me a minute here. Twice now he's stated it. Once is enough. This is twice now he's made this very important impact. How many times have we seen in the just our flow, the joy being made complete? The joy being made complete. You don't have it all at once. I'm not going to give you the joy all at once. I want you to have your whole life where you gradually receive by grace more and more joy in every area of your life. I'm not going to give it to you. I want you to learn to take it. So look what he says now. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you unconditionally, little by little. Now look what it says. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. Oh boy, we have fun here. The wild beasts, and they're growing. You put away the nations, but there's a wild beast there that we're not killing. We're taking care of the people in the nations, and we're taking possessions of it. Now, where are the wild beasts? Here's the city-state nation. There it is. But we're concentrating so much here, we've forgotten about the wilderness all out here. And this is where the wild beasts are. We've got to take care of the whole land. And so we've got to take care of every area of our life. He's not going to leave you with one little area over here if you don't trust him. It'll kill you. It's like a wild beast, people. And your joy will never be complete. Your faith will not enlarge to the point that you want it to if you're holding on. So he's not going to give this. He wants you to learn to walk by faith and trust him in every area. You won't trust him against the wild beast, the spiritual warfare, Satan and his demons. You will not trust God here. So he wants you to be able to walk by faith in every area. So the joy of mind be made perfect. So why does it take time for this joy to be made complete? Because as you grow through your life, 2 Thessalonians for Sunday morning, in all these areas of your life, you learn more and more to trust it so that your mass area, that's what it means by faith enlarged, you increase the areas that you trust him, then your love is greatly enlarged. That's magnitude. Then the magnitude of love. But as you do it, your joy is just starting to fit together. If we could move all these areas and put them into like a square and have a puzzle. Here's a piece, and here's an area, and here's an area, and here's an area, here's an area. And you slowly learn to trust God in every area of your life. And when you reach that point where every area of your life is trusting him, and therefore his love abounds, so that when the world sees what you're doing, they don't see you, they see Christ's love. And also, you now have joy in every area of your life. It's now complete. You've reached that point. You've reached that point where you have complete joy, where you allow God to do it. And so when you learn that, behold, the square now becomes you. This is the mature person, the person that has learned to trust him in every area of your life. Their faith is enlarged, not in the magnitude of faith, because you don't need any more than a grain of mustard seed. So you don't need any more than a grain of mustard seed in this area, and this area, and this area. But while you have it here, you won't give it to him here. You're holding on over here. You won't trust him with it. It's not a matter of needing more faith. It's a matter of applying your faith to every area of your life. Will you do that? Any and everything you want from me. And so finally, this is what you look like when you've trusted him in every area of your life. This is a mature person, and this is when your joy is made complete. This is when your happiness is made complete. And again, what's going on? Look at Galatians 4:19. Look at Galatians 4:19, and we'll see what's going on. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, something we studied before, but let's take a look at it. My children. Okay, we know that it's not there, because they're still children. With whom I am again in labor. Okay, let's talk about this. Where was the first point where Paul was in labor with the Galatians? Where was the first time he was in labor with them? Okay? I'm sorry? Well, let's go even further. What do we have? We have salvation one. We have salvation two. Paul came to Galatia. They were unbelievers. And so he labored with them to bring them to the gospel, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He struggled with them to do that. He was ill. That's the first place. Now, he says, I'm struggling with you again. Now, when is the again? Ta-da! When is the again? Now, in their life, to learn to walk by faith. His first struggle, he first labored with them to get them to enter by faith. That was his first labor. He didn't want to. So now, he's getting them, laboring with them, to get them to live by faith, walk by faith. So let's take a look. My children, with whom I am again, I've already been in labor with you to get you saved, eternally. But I am in labor with you again, until Christ is formed in you, formed in you. Now, I don't know what your ideal of that is. What is your ideal of the phrase, Christ formed inside you? A lot of Christians have different ideas. What is your idea? What does it mean when Christ formed in me? Can I make that happen? Do any of us know what we're supposed to look like when Christ is formed in us? No. This is what religion does. Religion says you will be morally correct in everything. You will know all knowledge of doctrine. You will emote. You will have complete service. So what we're going to do is get you in line, and we are going to put out the rules, and you're going to become, we are going to make this happen. Can't make this happen. I don't know what it looks like. Don't know what Christ formed in me looks like. So Paul labors with them. What is his labor? Teaching them. They fail. Just say it again. Say it a different way. Show you a different passage. We've seen in Galatians how he used Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Ishmael. I'll try another way. Talk about all about the law. Any way I have to. I will not grow weary. I will say it. If you didn't get it that way, and some of you got it that way, and some of you need another way, that's why I told you people, the message isn't ever going to change no matter where I am in the Bible. It's the same message all the way through. Every verse, every passage, if you want to see it. But what we have to do is we have to go through and allow the Spirit to open our eyes so that we see the image, see what's going on, see that all God is asking me to do is trust Him. Christ formed in us. I am laboring. What's Christ formed in you? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You take the 9 fruit of the Spirit, you take the armor, singular, but there are different parts of the armor. It's a singular word, armor, put on the armor. But when you start breaking it down, all the pieces you got to put on, we lay them all out. You got different pieces of armor. We got fruit, singular, but we have 9 aspects of it. What is all of that? All of this, when you put on all of this, you're putting on Christ. And when you allow yourself to be filled, complete, be made complete, in all of the fruit of the Spirit, every area of your life trusting Him, putting on the armor, whatever words we want to talk about that are in Scripture, what's beginning to happen is you're being transformed from the acorn to the oak tree. It's going to take a long time, but it's all there. You're ready to be. It's nothing you do. It's just the acorn doesn't make it happen. It just receives the being transformed into this tree. Same thing here. You and I are going to receive from being this new spiritual creation. Salvation 1, new spiritual creation, but I want to be transformed into the image of Christ Himself. But I don't know what that looks like, so I'm going to let the Spirit do it. And what we're looking at, all of this joy becoming full, picture of being transformed into the image of Christ. And I will labor, Paul says. This is what we will do. We will labor until this happens. Faith in Jesus Christ starts us off with the joy, people. Starts us off with the happiness. It isn't full, but it starts us with that. the happiness of so great a salvation, a happiness that our sins are no longer held against us. There's a happiness we can talk about and we can preach about. There's a happiness related to being saved. There's a happiness of being in harmony with God again. There's a happiness we can talk about of being reconciled with God again. But that's where it starts. You want to move far beyond that. You want to move to walking by faith. You want to move to being transformed. You want to move from that. This is really what Paul's talking about in milk and meat. The milk is salvation one, Jesus Christ. But the meat is being transformed into the image of Christ, walking by faith, letting these things slowly start happening in your life so that just slowly it starts, wow, not you, but another image starts taking place inside of you, the image of the Son of God, the image of God's love, God's joy, God's peace, God's happiness, God's faith, everything is God's, God's love, starts being said. You didn't make it happen. And you don't know when it happened. All you know is that you spent this time going on through life, new area of life, where you started increasing your faith, not the size, the area of your life. Started increasing it, and things started gradually changing inside of you. It will happen inside of you. You just start feeling different, seeing differently, thinking differently, and you don't even know really what's going on. You're being transformed from the acorn to the oak tree, from the new spiritual creature to the adult. And this is what Paul is here talking about. So there is a joy. There is a joy, people, in salvation here. But you want to go on from that now. You want the joy of walking in the Spirit. You want the joy that the Holy Spirit gives. We all can sit down and give great joy over this. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them. Boy, that is just so wonderful. I don't. No fear of judgment, no fear of eternity, no fear of any of that. It's all taken care of. I always feel sorry for Christians who think they can lose their salvation. I feel so sorry for them that they have to go through that pain and agony in their soul and fear and worry in their soul. I'm sorry. I can't understand it. I was a little boy when I accepted Christ as Savior, and I've gone through many different problems and turmoils with God, but thinking that I've lost my salvation has never been one of them. It's just taken care of. So there's a joy there. We're in right with God. We're eternally correct with God. But we now want to move from that. You don't want to sit down and keep talking about that milk. It's important. It's powerful. But it encourages us now, let's get some more joy. Let's get some more joy that comes when we walk by faith in every area of our life. Boy, I just don't know if I can trust God in that area of my life. Try it. You trusted Him here, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, I can trust Him. You trusted Him here, didn't you? Yeah. Well, then just try it. Okay. So we slowly start trusting God in that area of our life where we've been holding out. Those two or three areas. And then pretty soon, that one, we start turning over. And then there's a joy here where there wasn't before. Maybe there was fear. Maybe there was arrogance. Whatever it may have been. But now there's joy as well as love coming out in that area of your life where it wasn't seen yesterday, it is seen today. What's going on inside of you? There's a joy in the area of your life now where there wasn't yesterday. But now there is. There was joy over here and here, but not here. But now there is. So we want to move on to this so that this great thing can start occurring in the spiritual life gradually. Gradually. Okay. I had a few more things to say about joy, but I think we've dealt with joy. We have pretty much handled happiness, so we'll get on to the rest of it, because I do want to get through this. But this has been a lot of fun. I hope it's helped you in regard to joy. There's a lot of things. I had no idea of spending this many classes on it, looking at the concepts and stuff, but it's really helped us to see a lot of things. So any questions? Yes? Paul, in Romans.
Yes.
Well,
that righteousness.
No, no, that's the righteousness that Paul hoped for in Galatians chapter 5. Look at Galatians 5 very quickly. In Galatians 5, this can be done very quickly. What is the hope that that he's talked about? Let's take a look. Right, Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 5. For we, believers, through the Spirit, now how are we going to do it through the Spirit? By faith. And then it says, are waiting. How are we going to wait? Waiting by trusting. For the hope or confidence of righteousness. So what he's looking for at this point is, let's go back to this, sin, faith in the Holy Spirit, spirit-filled life. Okay, now, what's going to happen? There's some instant things that are going to happen, and then there are some gradual things. And one of the gradual things is that you are going to be transformed into the righteousness of God in your life. In your life. I don't know what that looks like. Legalists will stand up and say it means no sinning, especially sins that relate to the body. But I know righteousness involves much more than that. I was given it. See, all of these things, by the way, that I have here, we could talk about the salvation one. And everything that you and I receive instantly in our eternal status is things that we're looking at over here. You are imputed with eternal righteousness. Now, I want to see that coming through in my life. And I can. It's going to be by God the Holy Spirit. So the hope is the confidence that as long as I walk by the Holy Spirit, He will transform me into righteous life, give me a righteous life. I can't do it. He will do it. It's like the picture. I can try to make a righteous life. And what will I come up when I try? I will come up with Ishmael. And most Christians are satisfied with Ishmael righteous life. What is an Ishmael righteous life? It's a righteous life that I made happen. I worked at being good. I resisted sin. I'm going to make it happen. Just like Abraham made Ishmael happen. Yeah, I'm a structure. I'm a lift. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to Hagar. We're going to go in a tent. We're going to make it happen. We're going to make the male child happen. And he did. He made the male child happen. You can make a righteous life occur in religion. And most people are satisfied with it. What we want here, though, is the hope of the righteous life that God, the Holy Spirit, makes. And then you see Isaac. Here's Isaac. This, yeah, the righteousness that God is looking for is Isaac. This is given to us by, yeah, this is given to us at our faith in Christ, so that, and the reason this was given, so that justice sees that and just says, okay, you're saved. This right, justice, holiness of God, says, oh, okay, you're holy, you've got righteousness, perfect righteousness. Good, it's over, you're saved. Now what we want is I want to have that same concept here in my life now. How am I going to get it? What's the hope of that righteousness? Hope is the hope of the confidence. If I walk by the Spirit, He will give me. And that's Ishmael. Isaac. I can't produce this. This is the righteous life He's looking for. Most Christians live here. And they judge each other here. Why? Because this is going to take time. And a person is doing it right, is going to fail. So slowly, what happens? These little dots start getting closer, 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 till they start almost looking like a straight line. And each step of this whole process, one of the things that is happening, gradually, the righteous life is coming into play. The Holy Spirit does it. Yeah, it's part of the whole Christ for a minute. Just the opposite of what you've done. What most Christians do is say the righteousness is the only thing of Christ informed in us. And that's why they want to make it happen, and they judge everybody on that basis. They judge everybody on that basis. Most people are just the opposite of where you came from. If you never thought of it that way, that's the only way they think of it. Yeah. They only think of it that way. So we do want a righteous life. Paul wants a righteous life. Question, how am I going to get it? How ought I get a righteous life? I can get it Aristotelian way, making right decisions, or I can get it the Christian way of letting God the Holy Spirit transform me and give it to me. And that's a choice. Which way you want to go at it. Most Christians are very happy with this now. They never see this. But once you see Isaac, you smile at Ishmael. You know, boy, what a loss that is. Never worked. Okay? Anybody? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you for the God that you are. The unbelievable plan that you have devised for us. If we would just be patient, walk in the Spirit each day, not with our plan, not with our watches and calendars, but just renewing our faith each day, trusting you in more areas of our life, and experiencing, Father, the transformation that you so beautifully will do. The battle, Heavenly Father, as Paul is direct, the battle of faith. Not the battle of doing, but the battle of trusting. We thank you for tonight, Father. We thank you for the passage. We thank you for the Spirit opening our eyes. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.